Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. Ahead of getting into the show, just a little festive thing to chat about very quickly, because our teenager, Erin, has submitted her Christmas list of things that she wants for Christmas and her birthday. So her birthday's December the 30th, so it's pretty close to, you know, Christmas and everything as well. So it's a double whammy. And in there's the usual list of outrageously overpriced Pandora charms and hoodies and stuff like that as well. But one thing she has asked for Christmas has completely shocked me, only because I kind of see it as like a cake that old people might eat, and she's obsessed with panettone. She loves a panettone. And it's kind of a weird thing. I know, like, panettone is there amongst the kind of pantheon of all the different things that people have around Christmas. You see it in the Christmas ads, but does anyone eat panettone outside of the festive period? Like, I don't even know properly what it is.
I love panettone. I don't ever eat it outside of the festive period. That's a very, very valid point. But over the festive period, particularly marrying into an Italian family, many of them.
Many people in the family, or no, many panettones?
Many panettone.
But this is the weird thing about it. It's like, it's one of those things that you don't look at. It's the same as sprouts. It's the same as sprouts. You don't look at it any way in the year at all, and then you have one at Christmas and think, oh, go on, I'll try one of those. And you think, why don't we eat this more?
Now, on sprouts, very interesting that you mentioned that. This year, on Boxing Day, we are hosting my side of the family.
Okay.
So I am doing the Boxing Day meal. So I am in control of what everyone eats for Boxing Day meal. I am in control of shopping for Boxing Day meal, and I've got the Tesco delivery all booked for it. And at the moment, I have not put sprouts in that basket.
That is, well, I was going to say that's sacrilege, but it depends if you're having sprouts on Christmas Day. I don't really know what a Boxing Day meal would be. Is that the leftovers from Christmas Day, though, surely?
It would be if you weren't necessarily... say, for example, like, it all rolls into one.
Right.
Then I would say it would be leftovers. But for us... Christmas Day is going to be my wife's side of the family.
Okay, right.
And then Boxing Day is going to be my side of the family. So I don't want my side of the family to feel like they're getting the hand-me-down,
Bubble and squeak.
Exactly, yeah.
Bubble and squeak for somebody else's dinner.
So I am doing, it's kind of Christmas Day Mark II.
But without sprouts.
But without sprouts, yes.
What's the green bit then? What are you doing for the green bit?
Broccoli.
Okay, you sound like you might just be making this up as you go along.
Yeah.
It's like you're asking me, I don't know.
At the moment.
You've got the click and collect going on.
I have got broccoli in there.
Okay, cool, but it sounds reluctant. It's like putting two goalkeepers on the bench.
Yeah, well, I don't really like green stuff.
There must be one green thing in there that you like, though.
After eights.
Right, it's ridiculous. Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
A day where I'm trying to concentrate because I was very distracted during yesterday's show, and I'll tell you why. Yesterday morning, I installed a very popular brand of video doorbell to the front door at home.
Oh, wow, you've got one of those.
I've got one of those, and it was the first day of me being able to have a look and see what was going on at home, and I rumbled my wife big time.
Now, this could go one of a couple of ways. I'm hoping it's not a serious issue. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've seen someone with a turtleneck knocking on the door with a box of chocolates and some roses.
He wasn't there yesterday.
Okay.
No.
He's a great fitness instructor, to be fair.
So Thursday evenings is Beavers night.
Okay, that's fine. I had a rough day yesterday with the advent calendar, and I'm not going to say anything.
And
is that a club at Wetherspoons?
Beavers is probably, I would say, it's about a 4-minute walk around the corner. So I'd always assumed that it was a little 4-minute walk to drop Rocco at Beavers, and then a little 4-minute walk to pick him up from Beavers at the end of Beavers.
It's 4 minutes is nothing, is it, as a walk?
It's nothing at all. It's nothing at all. And I found out that yesterday it was a little trip in the car.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, rumbled.
So how were you alerted? Because I've never had one of these doorbells. How were you alerted? Did you have to search for that time? Or?
Because at the moment I've set it up and I would say the sensitivity is not quite right. So
you've set it to meddlesome.
I'm getting alerts if, like... a fly breaks wind outside the front door at the moment.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
yeah.
So I do need to refine it somewhat, but because of that, I found that the car was going out to do a drop to be. Now, I did challenge about this when I got home yesterday.
Because you can press a button and talk through the actual speaker on the doorbell, so you could have intervened right there and then. Like,
yeah, good job I didn't, because you would have heard the language that I received when I made the challenge at home last night. I was informed that was the first time ever that it had been a drive to Beavers.
This is the interesting thing, though, because my other half, Katie, won't allow... I want one, but we're not allowed to get one because of exactly that reason. It's like me seeing stuff. And nothing untowards, but no. Just getting involved, sticky beaking, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
This incredible power that you have at your fingertips now.
Isn't it, yes.
Because I remember famously when we were kids, and I still think about this to this day, someone siphoned the petrol out of our car fuel tank when it was on the driveway.
Wow.
You know the bit where you, like, do the thing with the tube and we never knew who it was? But if we'd had the technology back in the 80s,
then you'd found out.
We'd have known. Here's the doorbell.
Here's another driveway discovery. I want to hear your stories of rumblings. This text says, I found out that my wife didn't look when she reversed into my mum's car on our driveway.
Big brother is watching, it seems.
This text says, I've also rumbled someone nicking an oven out of my trailer.
Oh, my word.
Luckily for me, though, I was taking said oven down the tip as it was broken. So the thief saved me a job.
Damn, they could have nicked our old table that I had to take to the tip this morning, which is a complete pain in the backside. Where are the thieves when you need them these days? Love this text. From his hospital bed, my husband called me to advise that there was bird poo on his car roof and could I clean it off? I rushed out hoping he didn't see the little bump in his bumper that incurred in the hospital car park.
Love it. Howard is hanging on. What and who has been rumbled?
My dog snitched on my dad once because he'd take out for a walk every night. And then one day, my mum took the dog out, rather, and she went to go in the pub. And turns out my dad's been going in the pub to have a sneaky pint.
Wow, so the dog kind of threw your dad under the bus.
Yeah, totally. I looked really confused when my mum said, no, we're not going in there. So, well, we always do.
Wow, so the dog's turned state witness. Is that to be put into a witness relocation project with the FBI?
Yeah, he would, yeah.
I feel for your dad because he would have thought this is the perfect crime.
Yes.
Rumbled by a dog.
I don't know how long they've been going on, but quite a long time, I think.
Well, there's an episode of Lassie that we never got to see. Amazing.
Julie says, my granddaughter had a party behind her mum's back and covered the doorbell with blue tack so that she couldn't see who'd been there.
This is it. This is where we're going to get to with these things. Because, you know, they're watching you all the time, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
They are.
Hairspray on it, like some kind of Brinks mat robbery or something. Rob says, I was rumbled after being caught on CCTV bouncing off my friend's van's bonnet at a charity night, leaving a rather big dent. When he found out in the morning and explained he was going to check CCTV, my hungover self suddenly remembered what I'd done the night before.
Oh, dear.
What a little cheeky so-and-so he is.
And then a very recent one. Bush, Richie, only yesterday I was going through my doorbell for my missing parcels and I heard my neighbour slagging me off, even doing my Scottish accent.
Oh, my words. I think I might have to get one of them doorbells. I'm going to get one.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway. Absolute Radio.
We've been attempting to discover what are the ultimate Christmas toys of the 1980s.
We're getting close to unveiling our top five, and you will hear that in the next 15 to 20 minutes here on the Home Time Show. But a last-minute entrant from Laura. What are you wanting to put in, Laura?
Oh, the Bluebird a la carte kitchen.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, well, now, that was a legendary advert. Talk us through the advert that people will have seen when they were a kid about the a la carte kitchen.
The little girl, early morning, gets her a la carte kitchen, wheels it to her parents' bedroom and makes them, like, warm baked beans for breakfast. And I used to dream of being able to do that. I thought it was going to be amazing. And I never got one. Very sad.
Oh.
However, I went to a friend's one day and she had this amazing dream toy of mine. And I was devastated to discover that it was just a plastic hob. No heat. No warm baked beans.
So you were disappointed that her plastic hob was not connected to the mains.
Yes, very much so.
I'll tell you what, Laura, isn't it fascinating, though, that all these decades on, all of the technology we do now have and all of the processing power that's in a phone in our hands and all this kind of stuff, but nobody has invented the wheel-along kitchen?
Yes.
No, but you've got a ninja air fryer these days.
It's good. A little bit of the magic's gone there, I imagine. But you know what, though? Weirdly enough, from that advert, the advert itself is probably more iconic than the toy. And I think it was baked beans with Swiss roll on top, I think,
yeah,
in the advert.
Yeah, it was. I've always wondered. Really,
I've always wondered what that tastes like. It must be pretty good.
I think you could make it into a toastie on one of your Toasty Tuesdays.
Well, please speak to our boss, Paul, who put the kibosh on that particular feature. It's very, very sadly.
He could say no to us, but he can't say no to Laura.
Yes. Will you put in a word for us, Laura?
I'm sure I can.
Some last-minute entries. Marsh in Worcester would like to put forward the Ghostbusters Firehouse and Ecto-1. How has it taken that long for us to get to that?
We've had no mention of Ghostbusters so far. What's been going on there? Vanessa in Merseyside says the Care Bears were big in the 80s. I always wanted one, but they were too expensive for us. They were kind of weird, the Care Bears, weren't they? Mm. Did they have secret powers or powers? They just had, like, different weather systems on their tummies. One was a bit rainy, the other one was sunshine. It's time for us to unveil our top five, the countdown of the best Christmas toys from the 1980s. Thank you so much for all your brilliant input on this. We've been inundated with messages and some great memories, core memories unlocked again of some incredible 80s toys, but there can only be one top five. So here we are. Let's do the countdown.
At number five, a head that you could apply as much makeup, lipstick and eyeliner to that the 80s would allow. And that was plenty. It's Girls' World.
In at number four, key in a 25-digit code and deliver a cup of tea to your nan on Christmas Day. It's the HGV that won't slow you down on an A road. It's Big Track.
Program it and Big Track obeys.
Well done, Big Track.
Big Track from MB Electronics.
At three, it was the size of a tea trolley and its cupboards were stocked with Play-Doh rather than food. It's the a la carte kitchen.
Wake up, Daddy. Breakfast ready.
A la carte kitchen from Bluebird Toys.
At number two, incredibly powerful robots who crash-landed on Earth and rather than take over the planet, decided to muck about and disguise themselves as things from your parents' bedroom, like hair dryers and a tea's maid. It's the Transformers.
What, Commander?
Transformers!
The Transformers, each sold separately from Hasbro.
But the number one Christmas toy of the 80s, the brainchild of a Hungarian architect called Erno. 500 million have now been sold worldwide, but I've never solved one in 48 years on the planet. It's the Rubik's Cube.
Warning, once you get your hands on Rubik's Cube, you may never be able to put it down. Rubik's Cube. Over 3 billion combinations, but just one solution from Ideal.
Yeah, there you go. The countdown of, based on your suggestions, the ultimate Christmas toys from the 1980s. You know the thing that has really hit me about that? How old are the adverts? Sounds like something between the wars.
Hello, Daddy.
Hello, Daddy, I'm ready for breakfast. thank you for your brilliant input. We're going to be putting that on social media pretty soon. And hold on to your hats, because next week we look at the 90s.
Absolute Radio, the Daily Takeaway.
One big family on the show, one big family. So if you've got a problem, come and say hi. Gemma's done just that. She sent us an email. She says, Bush and Richie, home time, I need your help. We are doing Secret Santa at work, and the person I have to buy for is, I love this phrase, my office nemesis. He's always really short with me on emails, mansplains to me constantly in team meetings. So here's the thing. It's a £10 limit for the present. Can your amazing listeners please suggest a £10 gift I can buy for him that kind of tells him that I'm not that keen on him in a non-confrontational, passive-aggressive kind of way? All the best, Gemma.
Well, of course, the beauty here of being a Secret Santa is if this is done properly, that person will not know who this is from.
He'll never know.
No.
Be none the wiser, but it's like a £10 gift slap in the face. You know, people earlier on, we were talking about 80s toys and all that kind of stuff. Do you remember there was a product, it's like a JML type product that was a big thing in the 80s, and I don't know if it's still going, where it was like a hairbrush, but it also cut your hair at the same time? Do you remember that? I'm thinking someone along those lines, someone you would see on a JML kind of invention stand, You know, like in Home Bargains or something like that.
All I would say on that is, if it were me that they didn't like and I got a JML thing, I'd be delighted. I love all that JML garbage. So it could end up going the right way.
A pumice stone that tells you if someone's at the front door.
Take me any of those things. I saw someone have like a thing that you had in the shower where you suckered it to the floor of the shower and then it cleaned your feet, and it was a JML gadget. It was great.
Okay, so if he's into weird stuff like you, then this might be right up his alley. We don't want that.
Exactly.
That's not what Gemma's after.
What about some high-end pants for £10?
You can't buy someone pants in a Secret Santa.
But you don't know who it is, and you've ended up giving them a pair of underpants.
I would say getting an unsolicited pair of underwear or pants is more of a warning than a gift. I know what you did last summer, basically.
I feel like we've tried to help, you and I, but I'm not sure whether we've hit the mark.
JML and large underpants, it's not really going anywhere. Surely you guys have got better ideas how to help out Gemma.
No strimmer has come in from, so I think that's quite a practical present.
It's weird that you're liking all these that are coming in.
Yeah, it's really awkward, actually.
Someone here says, I would suggest a prickly cactus. Kind of a metaphor of their relationship.
Right, from Daniel and Lou, driving home to Glasgow from St Andrews after a lovely day at the beach. Thanks for the details.
Oh, yeah, cheers for that.
They say, for the Secret Santa Dilemma, there is a children's book simply called How to Be a Person. They should get the hint.
I like that. That's good. Again, she wants passive-aggressive. Mm. That, for me, absolutely hits that one in the bullseye. This is funny. Jacko in Suffolk says, how about a cheap exercise thigh buster? Mike, make the rotter close his legs. That's manspreading. He's mansplaining, this guy. So we appreciate Jacko, but that's the wrong issue.
This is brilliant. From Ben and Evie in Rotherham. How about getting the moral high ground with this? And there's passive-aggression in there as well.
Perfect.
She should make a charitable donation on his behalf. Because if you think about it, if you do that, then he gets nothing.
So he's just going to get like a receipt for the fact that they've given the money or something like that?
Yeah. And like £10 to a sick donkey charity or something.
I love that's the first charity that popped into your head.
I love animals.
You love donkeys?
Sick ones.
It keeps him awake at night thinking what could happen to donkeys.
It's festive as well, isn't it?
It is, well, exactly.
You know, donkeys, Christmas.
Are they to do with Christmas?
In the stable.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was full of them, wasn't it? Mm. This text says, Bush and Richie, someone once bought my magazine editor nipple tassels for an office Secret Santa. She wasn't happy and blamed me, as she said it was the type of thing that I would do. So my advice is buy something that the recipient will think someone else in the office would buy. There's a lot to process here. There's kind of an undercurrent of donkey stuff going on as well.
Was it camels or donkeys? I'm now getting mixed up.
I think it might be camels, but...
You wouldn't have had a camel in a stable. Wise men came on a camel. Donkeys would have been in the stable.
Well, there's that bit at the end, isn't there, where the wise men couldn't park anywhere because it was full of donkeys. Like electric cars. Tracy says, lads, there is a Christmas carol called Little Donkey, not Little Camel. Which is a good point.
I initially said, I doubted myself.
You did that. You should have just stayed true to your, you're big into your donkeys. Yes. You should stay true to that.
Thank you very much.
And you're right, I think the wise fellas turned up on the donkeys, didn't they? The wise guys.
No, they came in on camels.
I'm getting it wrong again. Yeah, sorry. It's so complicated.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
I tell you one thing I have put in my my basket for Boxing Day. Are you a fan of a medjool date?
Oh, I love them. But yeah. I'm not made of money.
Well, that's... I only buy them once a year.
Well, you'd have to, because they're so expensive.
They are very expensive.
I don't get it, because sometimes you can pick dates up from, like, like corner shops and stuff, and they think, oh, they're not, they've got a stone in them, but they're not that bad. And then you accidentally put some medjool things in there, get to the checkout and think, I'm not paying that.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
I know.
What do you get, six? Crazy.